Welcome to the Great Gathering Radio, empowering you to take inspired action to restore and rebalance the symbiotic relationship between humanity and Earth. From around the world, the voices of the people share solutions to create human and environmental sustainability, reminding us we are one voice, one people. I'd like to welcome everyone to the program today here at the Great Gathering. We are very fortunate to be able to be speaking today with Royal Chief Stanley Peterson, who is a Khoisan from South Africa, and one of his elders, Dawood Roy, who is 75 years old and is an elder from the Kalahari. And today we'll be talking to them about the Khoisan people, about sharing their traditions and culture, and how they have created a new movement in South Africa to regenerate and restore and uplift their communities and their culture that has had a very big struggle, as most Indigenous have around the world due to colonization, and in recent years with the struggles that have taken place with their people. So I'd like to welcome you, Chief Stanley, to the program and ask if you could just introduce yourself and share with the audience a little bit about who you are and what your work is with the Khoisan, as being a Khoisan yourself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Royal Chief Stanley Peterson. I'm a member of the National Khoi and San Council of South Africa. It's consisting of 30 members. And the Khoi and San, it's one word, but it consists of five main groupings, which is the Korana, the Nama, the Griqua, the Khoi Khoi, and the San, which is the Busman. So those are the five main groupings. And as a member of the National Khoi and San Council, and a group of 30, we have been chaired by Cecil Fleer, our chairperson. What we're doing is we engage with government on all aspects of the Khoi and San people, legislation, land, all issues pertaining Khoi and San. Not only with governments, but with different departments, international structures like the UN, where there are permanent forums, APEC, on all structures we are representing. We have still got a long way to go, like all Indigenous peoples in South Africa, but we are glad last year, September, all Indigenous peoples strike a major victory at the UN to speak with one voice. And they were co-chaired the Head of State's World Indigenous Summit. Out of that came an outcome document with 45 resolutions that all countries must be adhered to and adopted. And South Africa was one of the signatories to adopt it. As you said, in South Africa, our main struggle is recognition and our land. Those are the two things that we are struggling with. Because without land, we are nothing. And we must be connected with our land. That is our thing. And if you are not being recognized in our culture, you are nothing and you are useless. So I'm also glad to be announced here that for the 9 years I've been working with a Great Gathering team, which has been led by Marian Delgado. She visited me in South Africa. She took a tour with me. She visited all the leaders, the late leader, David Kuiper, which is the leader of the Khoisan. We visited the Korana leader, which is Josiah Scott, and then we visited Adam Kok, which stayed in Campbell. He's 83 years old, and all other leaders of Black Campaign, which is considered the Cook and Queer of the Sun. So we came a long way, and since that time, she's been struggling to assist and to help me. When I attend meetings with government, when I go to parliament, she assists me. financially, but also she assists me with the things that I need. Therefore, I'm glad that there's a person like Marian Delgado of the Great Gathering that support the indigenous peoples of Africa, specifically also Africa, the Khoi and San people.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I call Royal Chief Stanley Peterson Chief Stanley. So from this point forward, you'll be hearing me call him this. So thank you for this wonderful introduction. And also to clarify that, you know, we have a long history together, you and I, and the support that's come for you to be able to do some of this has been my personal work, my personal support to you. And the Great Gathering has recently started to work with the Khoisan as a grouping, with a language project that is a cultural project. And there's also a lot of work that you're doing culturally with your people as well. Can you share a little bit about this cultural work that you're doing and traditional work? Because we do have an elder, Dawood, who is sitting with us today, who we will speaking with in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about this new program that the Great Gathering is supporting for the new language school. And again, if you can share a little bit about the cultural work that you're doing and the cultural work that you're doing to restore an understanding and respect for the Bushmen of the Kalahari in South Africa.
Okay, start with the first in South Africa. There's a school which is in Afrikaans, in the language, the new language. It is Star Badistera. It's a language school headed by Oma Katrina Hiesel. She's 82 years old. She's one of only three speakers that speak the new language. And currently she's teaching younger children from the age, it range from 3 upwards to 12, and some of the elders just started recently, to speaking the endangered Ngu language. The new language is part of the Kam language. Now, the Kam language are the oldest language in South Africa. It is being on our national emblem, which is Ikere Ike. It means unified in diversity. That it means. So, our language is on the land or the national emblem of the country, but yet it is not a recognized language in South Africa. So we've struggled with it. This is the only school here that promotes and preserves the language. And it's been 3 or 4 years ago, it burned down. It damaged all equipment, chairs, and those kind of things. So currently the old lady, she's a pensioner. She's struggling with, with equipment, to repair things. And this is a setback for us. One person that can speak the language, try to preserve the language, but she struggles with it. And nobody, even in our country, South Africa, is assisting us, not even the government of the country, helping to protect one of the oldest languages, not even in South Africa, but in the world. And we are sad for it. As Khoi and San people. I'm a Griqua. We've got our own language, we speak Ikwiri. It's been distinct. There's nobody, in fact, learning to speak it. But the language of the school I'm talking about are from the San, the Kalari, Komani San. And with me here, I've got one of the elders that can speak also, because you've got different kids and languages in the Kalari. He is Dawood Roy. He just recently visited Cape Town with him. He's 75 years old. He's still living in the field. He's still doing the things of the field in the Kalahari. He's still active. But he's also a world-renowned herbalist. He's working with herbs. He's in his life, he's living out of the nature with a prince, curing sickness, sicknesses like high blood pressure, sugar, cancer, all these kind of things. Because in the old days, there was no sickness. We used herbs. So we just came from Cape Town of a two-week tour where we raised awareness, taking them.
So you were sharing. So you're sharing the culture with people in the Cape.
Yeah, we're sharing the culture with the people of the Western Cape in the cities. We're coming from the field, we're taking the bush, let me say, towards the suburbs to show them, listen, here is elderly people, still living the old traditional way. They are healthy. What us was a leader, he's not here, but he accompanied us, and he was 91 years. And it's also living and staying with the leader, Dawit. Yes.
Yes. So I would like to ask a question, if I may, and just Chief Stanley will be translating from English to Afrikaans, and then we will hear some of this ancient tongue that Dawit speaks, and also to ask him a few questions about how he feels about this westernized world as an elder who still lives in the ancient ways, who still lives in the Kalahari. What does he want the people to know about how this culture is being lost? He's a great herbalist, and we of course need this ancient wisdom in our world. We do not want to lose it, and this is something that many people around the world are trying to preserve. So can he share with us his story about living and how he feels about living in the Kalahari from a very traditional point of view?
Okay, I'll speak to him in the We're living in the field, far more better as in the field. If you're in the field, we saw every medicine plant that we can eat that's healthy. We're living with the lions. And if the lions dig out some stick or something to eat out of the ground, we go there and eat that because that is medicine. Where the snake is moving and where the snake is lying. He is lying always on leaves, like a white leaves. And then we take that and we eat it because, you know, it's medicine.
Yes.
If the snake spit you or bite you, we just dig a hole in the ground, take the sand, and we eat the warm sand, and that kills the poisoning.
waarom ons bleef gezond, dat ik nog nooit in mijn leven ziek kan zien. Kijk maar, kan je daar wel goed aan zijn, kan die het zeker dat je daar goed aan gaat zijn.
Ja. Therefore, we stay healthy. I was never in my life sick.
Hear his voice talk about the simplicity and the natural law that exists within the Kalahari. I think I would like to know how he feels from his heart, how he feels, what his thoughts are about humanity and our future, both from a positive and from the negative way. What are his thoughts about the way that we are living? And does he see that his people are being revived? How does this feel now for him? What are his thoughts on this?
How does it feel now to live the way we are?
In the world today, because he's also touring into the cities, how does he feel about the situation of the world? Does he have hope? Does he feel that everything's lost? And of course, the Khoisan people have been reviving their traditions through projects like Oma Katrina with the language school as one small example of this. How does he feel about this revival that's taking place? What are his thoughts about this?
Okay. Hoe voel jij nou met de samenleving? Omdat je in de Kalahari, je wordt in een region in de verte leven, dat je moet bouwen in mensen. Je kan niet jagen, je kan niet je eten doen. En je spreekt je taal, dat je zit in de grond gaan, dat niemand je herkent. Now I'm feeling very bad and sad because I'm a person of the field, but out of choice, I've got no right in South Africa. I'm not being recognized. There was no census, but now the census that prevent me to do anything that I want for a person of nature. He said the only thing that keeps him here is he dreams like he's in the field. If he's staying now here in the suburb, which is the city of the Kalahari, the nearest city, Upington, he just dreams. When he's here, he's like in the 50s, so he never forgets his roots.
Yes. And let me ask you, Chief Stanley, a question for a moment in this, because as a person from Canada, I live in Canada, as a person from Canada, as an example, I know very little about Africa. What we know of Africa is that the most famous incidents there, of course, being Nelson Mandela and the reform that's been taking place with apartheid. The problem I find is that we have a very limited understanding of the situation in South Africa in this regard, because most people believe that apartheid is over, but it's not. In my opinion, even from all those years ago traveling to South Africa, it's a social issue that will take generations to repair, not just legislation through law. This does help, of course, but we know that the damage to the Khoisan, for example, the current president of South Africa, President Zuma, has, first of all, made statements regarding the Khoisan and the indigenous in South Africa, specifically the Khoisan, which is the grouping of the Bushmen and the San and the Khoi, the coming together. In South Africa, President Zuma made a statement about the difficulties that the Khoisan have had in history when the colonization took place, with the rights of the indigenous being completely wiped out. Completely wiped out. Now, in making that statement, it became very clear to me that by President Zuma making that statement, the level of destruction that happened to your people, and especially in the Kalahari, that situation is beginning to be resolved, because in part because of this Khoisan Council that has been formed, and the kings, the traditional leaders, coming together and going to the government and saying, please, you know, we need to be recognized. Because up until 2012, the Khoisan and the Bushmen did not even have a place on census to say, yes, I am an indigenous, yes, I am Khoisan. This is correct, right, Chief Stanley?
Yes, Noreen. Give you just a short summary of what happened here. He's currently the president of South Africa, President Jacob Zuma, announced, I think since last year, there are two things happened. Firstly, the 1st of July last year, they reopened the land claims. In other words, the land claims said everybody that lost their land from 1930 are now able to claim the land back. Yet, we as Khoi and Son didn't lose our land from 1930. We lost our land pre-1930. In other words, from the 1400s. So the Land Claim Act currently as it is, it excludes us. So there's a different Land Claim Act for us reserved. But still with that, we are waiting for the president to endorse that bill, specifically for the Khoi and Son. Because we must be treated separately, because we never before. The first land claim bill was passed 1998. From 1994, it's 1998. So, but we as Khoi and Son never had an opportunity for claiming our land.
Yes.
At first, there, one point. The second point is the president just recently, the South African government, the cabinet, passed the Khoi and Son traditional bill.
Yes.
On the 26th of September. I think just now, a week ago, it came from the portfolio committee. It's now going to the National Council of Provinces. So in fact, this is a major milestone for recognizing us. But still, it's been used as a political tool. Next year is going to be local elections. So in other words, we have to vote for the ruling party for them to adopt their thing. So. So in apartheid, we said, as you mentioned earlier on, we're living still in apartheid in South Africa for the simple reason, from the 1st of January 2016 next year, Chinese will be an official language in South Africa on schools. It's an embarrassment for the whole world, because the Khoi and Son language, not one of them have been recognized. Here, a foreign language, Chinese, are being on the schools from the 1st of January 2016, being announced by government. So we said now, how can they say apartheid was worse? This new democracy is worse than apartheid. So still, we have been marginalized, we have been discriminated worse ever than apartheid.
Yes. And so I do understand some of this situation, because you and I have been friends for a very long time, and a lot of these struggles have been shared over the years for some of the details of how all of this has been unfolding. I'd like to ask Dawood about this. In this current situation, him living in the Kalahari, the struggle that he has to live there because of not having land, How does he go and into the Kalahari? Does he have challenges, and is he being harassed by government officials, or is he being having a difficult time with the restrictions of living on the land? Can he talk about that situation and how challenging that is?
Okay, so my dad asked me, "Can you know that? Who was the leader in the Kalahari? Was that by the government? Was that by the police? Was that by the fire? Was that by the police? Was that by the fire? Was that by the police? Was that by the fire? Was that by the police? Was that by the fire? Was that by the police? Was that by the fire? He said, they were hunting the traditional way. And they are prevented by doing that. They cannot go in the park because the Kakshekhadi Park is in the Kalahari.
Yes.
And most of that land are theirs. So yes, the government, they receive 6 farms from the government in the Kalahari. But the only they receive the 6 farms. There's no development, there's nothing to do, nothing for them on it. So it's in the new generation, it's a struggle for them.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the thing. The animals were there. He said the animals on the field, they were being hunting down. So they only received the field without animals. He said, when they receive these lands, they are hunters. They hunt for meat. But they were being hunted by jeeps and 4x4s.
Ah, yes, I understand. Yes, this is a very, very difficult situation. So does he have apprentices now that he is teaching the traditions to, and the knowledge that he has about the herbs and the medicine of the Kalahari? Does he have people that he's teaching this to now?
He said there were 2 types of Bushmen, the short one and the long one. Now the short ones, in those days, they teach him how to use medicine, herbs, and whatsoever. So he is now teaching his children in other areas, how to use medicine, the herbs as medicine to cure sickness, any sickness. He's now doing it. That's why he's going now with me, just in less than a week. We're going on another national tour now for 3 weeks to show the world again how he's still wearing his traditional wear and use his herbs and medicine. Because when we're in the cities or in the suburbs, they're not sleeping in the house. They're sleeping outside. Because when we're in Cape Town now, one of the friends said, no, you must sleep now. They said, the one was so offensive because, no, I cannot allow you to sleep outside. He said, no, don't be offensive. It's my way of living. I sleep outside. I want to sleep outside. If I cannot see any star at night, I'm not Bushman.
Yes. This is very touching for, I'm sure that it will really touch the hearts of a lot of people to hear this. And I would like him to know that, like Dawood to know, there are people all over the world who are working very hard to uphold these traditions. And although they are not seen standing beside people like himself and the Khoisan, we are here. And I would really ask that you translate that, because there are so many of us out here that do support him and what he's doing. It's like the invisible thread that ties us together, and we are here together.
Yes, Mariam. I can just add to that, Mariam. Yes. Just recently, the 30th of June, this month, this year, me, myself, I took the premier of this province in Northern Cape, which is the most senior government official, I took her to the Equality Court for uttering words like, in the older days, like she said, we are Hottentotter, what not Hottentotter. It is our old name. And we are only good for clothes and food. I took her to the Equality Court. It took me 5 years. And the verdict just came out now in June. She's been found guilty of hate speech and discrimination. And she must apologize in three newspapers and over three radio stations. This was a major breakthrough in South Africa for all indigenous peoples. And the court said that nobody is above the law, and no words such as Hottentot, because the old days they said that Hottentot is a thing that doesn't believe in God, it's a nothing, must be used. So as I'm saying, it was struggle for me 5 years alone. And it's one of the biggest court cases in history. Just recently that I won.
Yes.
So, as I'm saying to you, we still have the struggle, but being saying all these things, I'm not saying the South African government is not striving towards recognizing us. It goes there, but it goes on a slow pace. Just recently, last year, from the 21st to the 23rd of September in Geneva, the Minister of Traditional Affairs, representing the president, which was also there, acknowledged and endorsed the outcome document. Now, the outcome document is a document for all indigenous peoples, the outer people, in the Latin Americans and ourselves, which say this is the ILO. It's all the resolutions of the ILO, which it contains. That, in other words, each and every country must now work towards acknowledge that rights. Towards 20, I think it's 2018 or 2019. So South Africa make a pledge of 3 minutes to his minister, Minister Pravin Gordhan. So now, as Koi and some people, we have them accountable for that.
Yes.
And also, we like to thank platforms like you, Maureen, for this interview and this, you in a personal capacity, and also the great gathering, to expose this kind of things and to show to the world that, yes, not everything is good in South Africa. I mean, our struggle is worldwide the very same as indigenous peoples. It portrays a nice picture outside, but inside it's not so good.
Yes.
But our struggle is still the same. And as I'm saying, when I'm looking at the old man next to me, and I'm looking today as me, I'm 45 years old, and I'm looking at him, I was just wondering, will I get there, you know, with all the stress? And at that time, when you was grow up, there was no stress. It's only the field, there was harmony. You listen to the birds and things. Yeah, we have now in the news of Africa the democracy, but it's worse than the old days.
Yes, gee, Stanley, you and Oma Katrina from the language school, the two of you received the Ubuntu Award in Freedom Park in South Africa, from the Nelson Mandela Foundation. Can you share with the people listening here today what that was for? Because I understand that was for your dedication to, that was about your dedication to your people, not about politics, but about your dedication to preserving and supporting the Khoisan people. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, well, I'll start by saying this. It happened, I think, about 3 years ago in September or something like that. What happened is I was representing the Khoisan Council. I was nominated by a group that held that event. It actually started by with me. We were carrying a torch, all the nations in South Africa. I was the first person starting the torch as the oldest nation. And I walked, say, about 800 or so meters with a torch, with all the nations at my back, about 2,000 to 3,000 people, because we were walking in the it's Freedom Hill. It's in Freedom Park. We call it, it's in Johannesburg. It's Freedom Park. The event happens there. So we're carrying the torch. I was handing it over to the next nation, and he was handing it over to the next nation. So we entered Freedom Park. There, I was accompanied by Makatrina Yeso. Makatrina Yeso, after when I received the some kind of it's not a award, but it's a dedication letter by saying that you've done extremely hard work for the Khoi and San people. But when I received it, I called her with me as an elder. I say, come with me, and I handed it over to her. So for me, it was a humble thing to do, because although I'd done so many things, for me it was nothing. Because the old persons in our life, they doesn't get recognition. They doesn't get the recognition. So I handed it over to her. Mm-hmm. And just 2 months after that, the old woman received the highest order in South Africa for preserving an endangered or indigenous language by the president of South Africa. So on that event, when I did that, she immediately catch the attention of the world, because the event was being organized by a private company, but with Freedom Park itself.
Yes.
And the person that handed it over to me was the grandson of Nelson Mandela. And he's the CEO of Nelson Mandela Foundation, so he handed it over to me.
Yes.
Hello, Sydney.
So all of this work that's being done, Dawid and the other elder who couldn't make it here today to speak with us, but maybe another day we will have another interview. The other elder that's 91 years old went back to the Kalahari, so he wasn't able to be with us today. So we're here, and in a couple of days, you and Dawid will be traveling back into the cities to talk about and share this still living culture. This is the most important aspect of why the Great Gathering is supporting Oma Katrina and yourself, is for this cultural revival and for the cultural work that's being done by yourself and so many of you in South Africa at this time. Because although there's this political situation happening, ultimately, the purpose is to preserve and to strengthen the culture. Is that right?
That's correct, Marin. What happened just recently is when we were in Cape Town, just a month before we went to Cape Town, there was a clash among races. It was black students fighting white students about a language, Afrikaans. And we took it upon us, me and the elder here, David Roy. We went through that university. We approached the rector and said, listen here, we want to address the students. The reason why I want to address the students, we want to show them, if you have a pot, if you want to cook some food, you need water. Even if you want to put meat or whatever you want to put in the pot, you need to have water, you need to have salt, you need to pour in spice. So everything inside the pot, the mixture, is one word, it's food. So if we not like that, then there will not be harmony and peace in South Africa. And last week we received an email that we are going to be honored to address the students of that university or that institute.
Yes.
In Altenburg, it's an agriculture institute. We're going to address the new students next year when they open.
Wonderful. So the culture...
We believe a language that they don't, the one students were saying they must speak English, and the ones were saying, no, you came here, we've been taught in Afrikaans. Now, from our side, we said, look, our languages are so distinct. It was so being told, you mustn't talk to them. So we learned, the only language that we continued to learn and speak was Afrikaans. So we told them, if we're not respecting each other's language, then there's no room for us or them.
Right. And so this brings us to the next part of this, of the interview with Dawit, about the language. So just to be clear that right now, the Great Gathering is supporting Oma Katrina Esau, who is in Upington. We will be in the future, in the very near future, we'll be doing an interview with her. So we're very much looking forward to this also, where she has a small school that she has been working for many years with her family and the support of the community to teach the new language. It's called NU, N-U, to the students, to the young people, to preserve it for the future. And there's very few, quote, new language speakers left. So the Great Gathering has stepped in as an organization to support this process. They are working with linguists all over the world. They have created books, programs, all sorts of professionals have stepped forward to help them over the years. And the Great Gathering is going to be helping to bring all of this together, to pay for some of the equipment that's needed, because currently they don't have any kind of recording devices, no computers, laptops, nothing. Everything is gone. And so we are going to be helping with this project, and we have been. So they can find information on this at thegreatgathering.org for anyone who's listening. And we're very excited about this program because the people are very appreciative of everything that the people around the world are doing to support this, not only financially, but also the moral support to know that people are paying attention and that actually care about this language. Because as President Zuma said, they were one of the most brutalized people in all of South Africa during the colonization. And we want to be able to support the healing of this trauma to the people and to bring about the culture and the traditions. And this is part of the mandate of the school also, to help have a place in the future to be able to bring all of these traditions and to bring people like Dawit from the Kalahari and teach this traditional knowledge. And there's very little time left because of the brutalization, because of apartheid, because of different issues that have come up over time. So the language itself is a cornerstone of tradition and culture and beliefs and understanding of our relationship to the natural world. Language is literally the cornerstone of our society. It's about how we communicate. It's about what we do with our communication. The sacred languages, as I call them. And so recently, even yourself, in our recent conversations, Chief Stanley, we have had a conversation about the language school, which is new, and it is a clicking language. It's a clicking language. And there is another language that is predominantly spoken in Namibia and in the northern part of the Kalahari from South Africa. What is called Nama. Thank you. And Nama is spoken by thousands of people. But this language, the new language, is older than Nama, and yes, it is specifically a Bushman language. Yes. So I'd like to talk to Dawood, if we could, about his language. If he can talk about growing up with his language, because it is very close to Oma Katrina's, but he speaks in a higher click. And I'd like to ask him to talk about his language, to share with us what he can, and then to speak some of this language. We would love to hear a story from the bush, from the Kalahari, a story of a traditional story spoken in this high click language so that we can hear some of it.
Actually, ek het 'n storie vertel wat my gebeur het met tannie Kalahari. Die spiegel hoor alles met een nota. Ik heb net een story verteld aan mensen die ons verteld. Ik heb een laatste story dat ik hier heb gezegd. Babu Kungwa, Daki, Atse, Kanga Name Bidan, Tatsa Hal Nwara Nikalari Tatsa, Daki Mahibwa, Tai, Kanga Bidaro Wansh, en Aad. Dat ik het zat de andere aan het laatste zie. Je was sitting the other day around the fire. Dan kom je lo, dan kom je lo, om share. Then the lion came around the screen of the fire. Maar ons weer wat verbod gebruik ons om altijd te zien zo kom, dat brandt ons uit daar. But we know as Bushmen and elders, if the lion comes, we burn a certain bush for him. Dan vlug is er ons uit. Then he ran away for us that time. Kalinga, dit is a hoeveel klap dat hy het zo'n hart sê. Ons weet net hoe ons om werk hier jou. Ons weet net hoe die ander me kan wat hy daar ook. Hy het geskrik tot hulle daar kom. He said the other guys that were sitting there visiting, when the lion come, when the lion comes, they were running away. One of the ones ran into the door. Because he didn't saw the door was not open, he ran into the door. But they were laughing because they know when the lion comes, they only set a light a bush. So that was the most joke that he has with Muhammad Kalari. Hulle kan na die video hoekie, hulle kan nie verstaan ons drink van water in die eempang waar die reen is. Samme die rood, samme die mag het die, ons werk samme klaar. Drink samme klaar. He said the next day, because they share the same water than the lions, they drink the same thing, and that guy that walks, that ran away into the door, he said, never again, he will be there. Kan go op die kwa, kaba hoekwa, die oudse, kwa die die oudse. Dat is nou soos, of die loo onze broer is, of die shells ook onze broer is, of die tier onze broer is, of assam. Al dat die daar ook, ons wordt die sier gemaakt en ons werd samengehoord. And they told him, you know, if you're living in the desert or in a park with animals, they are your brothers and your sisters. They will only attack if you attack.
Ah, yes.
And when the lion comes, this guy just stood up and ran. So they're not doing like that.
No.
They just sit and wait for him.
Kom maar, doe goed maar. Baie mensen verstaan hoe kom ons samen die goed kan leven, samen die natuur leven van die leeuw, die tier, die kudu, blauwele, bies, harde, ons leven samen.
Many people don't understand, but why is this bushman living with these animals?
Yes.
Kijk maar gewoon naar die kogumba, naar die slang, met als afvoer, kan dat of een kleine kaas.
With a snake, with a crane, bird, they living with it. They are there.
Dawood in his language,
Yes.
He grew up, of course, he grew up with his ancient language. Is he able to teach this language to any of his children, or has he been able to pass on his language to anyone?
digital, contiene sensores que no son los porteros, han ido aceptados, el que quiere tener.
Pues de, opa, ¿cuál es el video? ¿Va a cambiar? ¿Va a cambiar? ¿Va a opa? ¿Qué?
Jason, mi grandfather, en el video,
He's
teaching for children and those who want to learn it, but very, very, very few. If there's 3 or 5 people that knows it fluently, it's a lot.
Is it the same? Is it similar to the new language that Oma Katrina speaks?
Yes, it is. Is it the same language? Is it the same style as the people of Australia? He says that he speaks the kwa and he speaks the ti. So there's a difference. He's speaking the wild Bushman language.
So would it be possible for him to speak in this language so we can hear the tone and the click? Tell us a story, a short story in this ancient tongue so that we can actually hear it.
Okay, fine, I'll do it. Tell a story in the tongue. What do you say? Because we don't know what you say. He said when he walks like that, he sees the nature, the stars and the sun, everything is nice for him.
Yes.
That's why he said, when you look at the stars, that the ancestors of his forefathers walks with him everywhere, where he goes. That is the purpose of to be free in the nature.
Yes.
He said, he will be very glad if he wants to meet the presenter of this interview.
Oh my goodness.
He can show you in real life what it is. Just to share something with you and your viewers. When we went to Cape Town, the first day, the second day, we were taking pictures. I was handing it over to one of the guys, one of the iPads that I lost, but that time I was handing it over to somebody. He took it and he put it on the car, the bonnet of the car. And somebody stole it and ran away towards the nearest railway station. And what this leader, David Roy, did, he just took out the bush. He burned the bush. And the very same person that stole that iPad ran back with the iPad. One of the guys saw him and said, that guy moved, that guy. But when I moved across the road towards that direction, towards the station, the guy ran away. He stopped. When I go over the road, the guy came back, and when we met each other across the road, he just stopped, talked nothing, opened his jacket, and I pulled out the iPad. It was the strangest thing happening to me. And I asked him, what do you do now? Because some of the people will say, it's witchcraft. He said, no, this is how we live in nature. We call that the lion stick. And if I burn the lion stick and I talk with nature, this thing happens.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. And I think that it's a perfect ending to our conversation today. It truly will be my honor to meet Dawid when I come to South Africa at some point, to be able to have a deeper understanding of this sacred way of life. For the people around the world who are listening, we've been speaking with Royal Chief Stanley Peterson, who is part of the Khoisan Council, but he is also a cultural support to the Khoisan people and has been working tirelessly on his own, completely on his own, to support the Khoisan in their uplifting and rejuvenation of their culture around the country of South Africa. And having the pleasure of talking with Dawid Roy, an elder from the Kalahari. And we've also been sharing some information about Oma Katrina and the language school project that the Great Gathering is supporting at this time. Before we leave today, I'd like to ask both of you if there's anything that you'd like to share with the world.
Marianne, thank you very much. First of all, I want to thank you as a person for everything you did for us in South Africa, especially for me and the Khoisan people, because at some point in time, I wasn't able to reach out, and you provided me in many ways to reach out and that our people are being recognized, our language are being recognized, and that we receive not the entire land, but what we deserve. You know, we in fact, the whole South African Africa, we have quite some love in it. And if you look at it now, not we can count it, 5-10 farmers in South Africa are the Khoisan, but they're not alone. They work in 38 community property associations. And what it means, like community property associations, is being run by community. There's bosses. You've got 300 bosses on one small piece of land, and it creates problems. It's like a house. You've got two wives in one house and two husbands.
Yes.
So we can, if we can have as leaders a piece of land with our community to love our traditional way and to love our ways, I will be glad. But from my side, I'll ask David now what he wants. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kaikwa, kanya, kati, kikati, kumka, kwamba, aksuku, to help. Want us, let me help you so much. Aksuku, help. Ma, us, baby, help to us, kafi. He said, we want help. And if you get help, he will give you something that will enrich you someday. Because he, in nature, his wisdom is his riches. And that's what he wants to give to you. In return for help. For the people of Africa.
Well, I hope that in my heart, and you can translate this to Dawid as well, in my heart, it is with great honor and respect for the history and the ancestors of the indigenous and the Khoisan people that I do this work personally. Yeah. And there are many of us in the world who are here to support the Khoisan, not only myself. And we do this as a world community because as he walks under the stars at night, I too walk under the stars at night here in my home. So we are not separated. We are connected through the stars and the earth and the air. And it is this community around the world that sees the world through these eyes, that are working in the invisible world of the nature to accomplish this balance out here in the world. And it is truly my honor and privilege to be able to be a part of this and support, but it is by no means done only by myself. It is a world community. And I would ask that you just translate that for Dawood.
So it's something that is connected and aspire and amazing because there's many people outside that support us. You will treat this is and you don't know. And that's something that you see your right to listen.
Thank God. 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 Thank God.
He said, in his heart, if you want to help, if you're going to help us, he will help you. And he's thankful for everybody that's supporting us.
Yes. So, thank you very much for being here with us today. Thank you, Dawood, and Royal Chief Stanley Peterson for being part of the radio program with the Great Gathering. And I look forward to being able to have another interview another day. For now, we have information on the language school on our website at thegreatgathering.org. We also have a great deal of information on our Facebook page. And the language school also has a Facebook page where a lot of information about the language and the new speakers is also on the internet. So I look forward to working more as a support to the cultural rejuvenation of the Khoisan people, and to be able to support the preserving and future of the Khoisan, the Kalahari Bushmen. And I know that in the future that Dawood and I will have an opportunity to meet, and I very much look forward to it, and thank you very much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Marina Shaf, and thank you to the rest of the world, all people that listen to us, indigenous people and the world people, all acts of faith, everybody that listens to us, poor or rich people, it doesn't matter, we are one.
Yes.
Thank you for the time. He said thank you. From outside, from the Namat side, I said, I'm a Greek, but I speak better with Namat. They said, Dangans, in the Nut language also, they said, Konkia, which means we greet you.
Okay, we greet you. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you.